It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? It's the Who's On First Base baseball podcast for Tuesday night. We usually do Wednesday night, okay, October 10th. And once again, it's the coach, Carl DeMasi, along with the man that has the stats, the man that has the cranial vault of whatever's going on in baseball, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's presented by, of course, Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner has now its own sports network, four shows. We have two live, one that goes once a year, and one podcast. So don't forget Wednesday nights, tomorrow night, 6 to 7. Check out the Rubbin' and Grubbin' Show with, of course, the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, and the OG of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, Lawrence Bennett, the producer. Then on Saturdays, yours truly from 9 to 10:30 with Carl DeMasi Sports Report. Once a year, we have the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers, Short and Brent Herb. They do all thing Masters, first week of April, five straight days. Very funny, very good. Check it out on YouTube at the 19th hole. All right. And then we have one podcast. You're listening to it right now. The Who's On First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. 6 years straight, episode 14 this year, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. And now joining me, stepping up to the plate, is the man himself, the baseball fanatic, Mr. Cubby, Kyle Lawson. What's up, guy?
Hey, coach. Good to see you. Man, that's been a wild week, and that's why we're here. We're going to break it all down tonight. I'm ready if you are.
Yeah, I'm going to go. We're going to play four innings like we do every Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whenever we do this podcast. First inning, we go around the horn. We usually talk about the divisions. Now we're going to talk about the wild card playoffs and the division championships. Then we'll get into, of course, the second inning with the Braves. Talk all things Braves. Everybody's on their edge of the seat because pitching woes, okay, and we'll break that down. Then in the third inning, got to talk about Savannah Bananas. World Tour 2024, unbelievable. Six major league cities, a lot of top-notch minor league ballparks, and they're going to take a cruise at the end. Once you go down to the Miami Marlins complex stadium, they're going to play the game there. 2 days later, you jump on the ship and you do a Banana Land cruise to, I think, the Bahamas. So what else is going on? And then we go to trivia. Okay, the coach has the lead, 6-5-1. Okay, no, 6-5-2 now, right? We tied last week again. 6-5-2.
Yeah, we tied last week. Yeah, it's getting man. Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit this year. So yeah, there we go.
Well, I had to dig deep so you wouldn't be kicking my butt the whole year. So
all right.
Here we go. Stepping up to play, inning number one. Let's go around the horn with Major League Baseball. We had the wild card playoffs last week. I was 1-3 in my picks. The baseball fanatic. That's why I got this guy doing a show. He was 3-1 on his picks. Didn't see it coming in some of these other some of these divisions. So let's start in the senior circuit this time. Let's start in the NL wild card series. Okay, Arizona, Milwaukee. I had Milwaukee. I would never have thunk that. That's the only one you lost there, buddy.
Yeah, it really was. I really thought they were going to hold sway. I mean, they're going in against the sixth seed. And that is the Arizona Diamondbacks, but solid pitching. Of course, you got the likes of Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. And it just turned out that the Brewers pitching staff was just banged up. And before you knew it, they were gone. They had home field advantage, both games played in Milwaukee. Arizona takes it away easily. 2-0, wins the series, moves on to face the Dodgers.
But something interesting was, the Diamondbacks had to come back in both games. And once they got
ahead. Yeah, they really did.
Once they got ahead, it was over. That was interesting. You know, young team, young feisty team. You know, Zach Gallen's leading the way. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really was. And, I mean, you got your rookie of the year in the NL in my book, and that's Corbin Carroll, guy with power. He plays incredibly well in the field, and he's been an absolute stud. And I mean, they're on a heater right now. They've been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last month. No doubt about it.
The only one I got right, which we both agreed upon, was Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Taking care of the Fish. I thought the Fish had a great story this year. I mean, I think only two players from the 2020 team that was horrible. So they got there, but Philadelphia, I mean, I'm just telling you, when it gets to the playoff time, this team is always hot.
Yeah, Rob Thompson keeps his guys going. I mean, obviously, you're looking at a team last, you know, that won 85 games last year, won the pennant. There they go. And they don't seem like they're done yet. I mean, they've been really getting it done with the bats. Obviously, they're getting ready, you know, dealing with the series with the Braves right now. But it was a nice season for the Marlins, but I didn't see any way that Philly was going to walk out of there and not have that series in hand.
All right. So that was so then the Phillies are now taking on the Braves. The Diamondbacks are taking on the Dodgers. So let's go out to the junior circuit. Now we're going to go to the American League. I just, you know, Toronto just kills me. They just got so much young talent. They're so, you know, star-studded. They just can't win in the playoffs. In Minnesota, I mean, that's a surprise team for me. Minnesota and Arizona, I wouldn't think the Twinkies coming out of that AL Central would be in this thing. But they're in command.
And that's just it. I mean, you run into a rotation at the wrong time. And, I mean, even though you got all that talent, of course, you got a little bit of veteran presence in Toronto with George Springer. Couldn't find a way to get it done against Minnesota. I mean, it was over. I mean, the minute it began, I mean, it wasn't even close.
And then we go, of course, Texas taking on Tampa Bay. Texas had a great season, great story. They had the lead until the last, the divisional lead until the last day, and Houston knocked them out. I thought Tampa Bay was hot. I thought they were strong. But once again, you picked Texas, and I went with Tampa Bay. I didn't foresee this coming.
Yeah, I mean, the offense really led the way. I mean, yeah, they did get some good starting pitching despite the fact. I mean, you look at DeGrom and Max Scherzer, you know, banged up. They're not contributing. But they went out 1-9. That's a team that is flat out hit, and they absolutely buried the Rays. And, yeah, before you knew it, they're back home in Tampa Bay. They're out golfing by this time.
Or fishing. So, whatever. So, all right. So, now we go to the AL Division Series, okay? Texas is jumping all over the birds. And then, of course, Houston and the Twins are tied 1-1. As of this recording right now, Tuesday night, October 10th, it was the bottom of the eighth inning, and Houston was up 6-1 on Minnesota. So Houston should, by the time the end of this podcast, so should be up 2-1 over the Twins.
Yeah, they really should. And I mean, they honestly, this was done in the first inning. I mean, Sonny Gray goes out there and I mean, he lays an egg, gives up 4 runs, and Christian Javier, who's been great all year, the young right-hander for the Houston Astros, has been terrific. And you really thought maybe the Twinkies would find a way to battle their way back in. Not happening tonight.
No. So it looks like Houston will go up 2-1. And then we, of course, tonight, the Birds are against the fence. They lose. They can go crabbing in Baltimore, right? In Maryland, that's what you do. You just go crabbing, okay?
Yeah, so, you can do that. Put Old Bay on it.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'd love to see Baltimore win tonight, but I just can't see. Texas just too hot.
Yeah, that's just it. They got Nathan Eovaldi going in tonight, and then you got Dean Kramer, a young right-hander. He'll be getting the start tonight. But I will say one thing for the Birds. Keep this in mind. And Anthony Castrovince, you know, that, you know, covers baseball for MLB Network. The Orioles, they got 48 comeback wins in this season. In one-run games, they have a 6.52 winning percentage. You cannot rule them out. They were 6.5 games behind the Rays at one point in early July. They're resilient. You can't rule them out. I want to see this happen. I want to see this become a 5-game series because I feel like it can happen. And they have to find a way to crack Nathan Eovaldi. This is going to be a good one tonight. That one, actually, yeah, I think it's on HBO Max, and I think it's on a couple other channels too. All I know is that's what I'm going to be watching it on.
Well, you know, I hope they can do it. My personal feeling is, I don't know what you got as far as statistic goes. The Birds have to come out and score right away. They can't get behind. They have to come back and score right away.
Without a doubt.
So it's going to
they got to hit. That.
Yep, they got to hit the ball, and we'll see if the Mr. How do you say his name? Andy Adley Rutschman.
Adley Rutschman. You need Adley Rutschman to go out there. Yeah, there you go. I was about to say nobody gets an error. You fielded that cleanly. There you go. But yeah, it's pretty tough to to you know, back the O's in a corner when you got a guy like that. They're powerful 1 through 9, but yes, I firmly agree. Get out there and you gotta hit Eovaldi early.
So, all right, let's jump now to the senior circuit. Okay, Diamondbacks just biting the Dodgers all over the place. And you know, nobody's giving this team a chance. And the Dodgers are down now 0-2, and they gotta go to Arizona. Arizona has the home field advantage now. I mean, I can't
see 2-2-1 format.
I gotta say it right here. I don't want to say it. I love your wife, but I can't see the Dodgers winning two out of the three games they're playing there. So while they're winning, I can see them. I can't see them winning two games out of the next three games.
Look, I don't want to rule out any team that has Mookie Betts on it and Freddie Freeman and JD Martinez right there, but their pitching is killing them right now. Jeez, getting knocked out of the box last night. You know, I had to basically, you know, talk to Angela, like, can we keep this on for a little bit longer? And then it got to be about the third, fourth inning. Like, you know what, honey, you're right. And I was texting with her brother, but you can't count a Dave Roberts team out. I want to see them make a series out of it, but you're going up against a young, feisty team with nothing to lose. I don't know what's going to happen. And going into Arizona, I think it's going to be wild. Coach, I can't give the verdict yet.
Uncharacteristics. He ripped apart those players too. He got in their face. He couldn't believe it.
I've never seen him that frustrated. I have never seen him that frustrated.
Right. So, and you can't blame the rookie pitcher. Bobby Miller has been good all year long.
Yeah, Miller's been a shot in the arm. I mean, you got injuries. I mean, Clayton Kershaw gets knocked out of the box. One of the worst starts to a playoff game I've ever seen.
What was that? A trivia question there? Who was the only pitcher to give up 5 or 6 straight hits to open a playoff game?
There you go. Clayton Kershaw. And I hate to see it. And yeah, I mean, you're dealing with the injuries. Obviously, you don't have Walker Buehler out there right now. You're having to mix and match and hoping that your bats can come up with it. They got a day off. They're going to head out to Arizona. They're going to need all the help they can get. It has to come from the bats.
Buehler. Where's Buehler? Buehler.
He's gone.
He's still hanging out in Ferris's Day Off, whatever that movie was called.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
There you go.
It took place in my fair city.
Oh, is that Des Moines? Oh, sorry, Chicago. I'm sorry. So,
yeah, well done, sir.
All right, so we got the other series going, Philadelphia and Atlanta, and you know we had a couple of ticks back and forth last night. I really do believe, and I'll say this because I am a coach. As a coach, no matter what sport you're coaching, you hate the layoff. You hate the long wait before you start playing. I know the Braves.
No doubt.
The Braves weren't hot at the end of the year. They were like 500. You know, they clinched the division so early, but then they had to wait what, a week to play?
Easily a week. Yeah, so that's exactly what happened.
Finally, it's great to see the bats wake up at the right moment.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm not feeling great going into last night's game. I sit down on my couch, I'm watching the game, and then I'm looking at, hey, they're down 4-0. What happens? They find a way to claw their way back. And honestly, I'm saying this right now. It was one of the best playoff wins I've seen in Braves history. And I know we'll break down, you know, the whole Braves wrap in the next segment here, but unbelievable. Austin Riley comes up after they scratched and clawed for a run. You get a 2-run dinger from your catcher, your 8th or 9th hitter in Travis d'Arnaud, who's really just underrated just because he's on a loaded team and he's backing up Sean Murphy. He comes in there with a 2-run knock. You're thinking, hey, we got a shot here. And guess what? Mr. Austin Riley does what he does. He's been doing all year, hits a bomb to left field, and that gets overshadowed because Michael Harris has one of the best outfield throws. And I mean, I don't even think he gets an assist on the play because it went back to short. But if you don't play to the last out, you're going to get out. Bryce Harper didn't tag up. Tail as old as time, back to first base, got him out. The Braves have got to be thinking, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good going into Philadelphia than I would have a few innings ago.
All right. But here, I got to tell you. Okay. So let's go. It was.
Okay. Okay.
Right. No. Michael Harris gets credit. It was an 8-5-2-3.
Yes.
Double play. So he got.
Yeah. He does there. Get the assist. Yeah. He threw an absolute frozen rope. But I mean, Bryce Harper was halfway down the line. It was easy. Matt Olson had him dead to rights.
Here you go. He judged the ball perfectly, making the catch against the fence. Okay. And here's you know, I'm not a Bryce Harper hater. Okay. I think the guy plays
smart. No, me either.
At the end of the game,
he's a great player.
Blame for it. But being an old high school travel ball baseball coach, you tell your players, you know, in the late innings, you're down. You don't go past the base until you're definitely sure the guy's not going to catch it. He was already halfway between second and third.
Oh, he was. He thought, and I honestly, yeah, and I'm with you, Coach. I really thought that had a chance to go over the wall. I think we all did.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't. I thought he had it.
You didn't.
I thought he had the perfect beat on it. He had it. You could tell in his eyes. He had it in his. It was. You knew it was going to be a great catch. You knew.
He knew where the fence was. He knew where the fence was. No doubt about it.
I had no. I did not say home run on that hit. I did not say home run. I said this kid is going to catch it. Okay. Say hey, where are you? Say hey, Willie. I mean, let's go back to the 54 World Series. You know, in that Monster Park out there in the Polo Grounds. I mean, he just played it perfectly. And you know what? He's getting a lot of comparison to Andrew Jones. I mean, so, you know, the kid's pretty good. So, I mean, just the whole play. And like you said, it had to be the – I mean, I'm in my man cave here, and I started screaming. My wife goes, what's going on? I said, the Braves are winning. He just made a hell of a catch. I mean, so – sorry, that's a curse, Daniel. That's an error. He made a heck of a catch.
Tom Sarnett.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it was just one of the best, you know, I'm sitting here watching it. Come on, Braves, what's going on? They're down 4-0. Come on. Then they claw a run out. They get a run on Acuña on a scrappy run.
They manufactured that.
As great as Trey Turner is, he made two key errors last night.
Yes, he did. A guy you don't see. He was part of that big four class of shortstops that was going to get paid. And the fact of the matter is the Braves kept to their game plan, got a key hit when they needed to, and they took advantage of defensive mistakes on the base pass. Excuse me. You got fundamental mistakes. I'll say that. You got an error in Trey Turner, but the bigger thing is you got Bryce Harper straying almost to third base. He can't get back no matter how fast. I mean, despite his speed, I'm still excited from last night. It blew me away. And he's out easily, and you're feeling pretty good going into Philadelphia.
All right, so let's go around the horn now with your predictions. I don't see Texas. I'm going with Texas against Baltimore. I don't see Texas losing this one. I think Houston is too strong for the Twins. I got to go with the Diamondbacks. I really do. And this is a hard one for me. You're going to Philadelphia. You got to win one out of two there, and it's such a tough place for the Phillies to play. It's a tough place for the Braves to go to and play with that crowd. It's a toss-up for me, but being the homie I am, I'm going to say the Braves win it in five. So what's your picks?
Yeah, I think the Braves, I'm picking the Braves over the Phillies because I feel like you got a little bit of a momentum swing right now, and you got a day off. You can restructure. There's a lot of options, and I know we're going to talk about that soon, about what they can do for a Game 3 starter. I don't know if the upstairs door is shut, so I don't want to give my prediction on what is going on with the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. So you know what? Let's just say Dodgers, you find a way because you can't keep Mookie Betts down. Baltimore, I think, is going to come back and win it. I got two upsets right there. I really do.
Wow.
If they can snuff out Nathan Eovaldi tonight and make it 2-1, they're going to win it. I really believe. I think they can. I think they can win the next two games and force it back to Baltimore. I really do. Now, I'm with you, though, on my pick. And the Twinkies, heck of a year. Great for them. Houston's too strong. That's my pick. So I took a couple of I took two sure things that I thought, and I took two underdogs. So you know what? I'll take a 2-2, and let's just see what happens.
I'm going for 4-0 right there, buddy.
So. Okay, light them up, Coach. That's why we do it.
All right, so there you go, inning number one in the books, and we'll come back with, of course, who's going to be in the Soundgarden for the next couple of weeks at Coach's Corner, because you know what? We know, because it's all sports, all food, all fun, all music. Since when?
1991.
At Coach's Corner. So that's inning number one in the books. All right, now we step up to the plate where chopping on the Braves. What a game last night. Inning number two. Mojo's on their side. But are they going into the city of brotherly love or the city of brotherly hate?
Well, we know how passionate Philadelphia fans can be. It's going to be tough for both teams right there. But the Braves have to remember they are the Atlanta Braves. 1-9, they're the best team in baseball. My only concern is what are we going to roll out? What are they going to roll out when it comes to pitching? Last night was a great night. They scratched and clawed. Darno comes up with the bomb. And, of course, Austin Riley hits the two-run bomb to take the lead. And he also became the first Braves player to hit a go-ahead homer in the late eighth inning or later since Michael Tucker, there's a name, back in 1998. Right. I think that was the NLCS against the Padres. I remember that.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, though.
Yes, it was. But that's what makes it really special right there. And, of course, you know, you got the Harris catch right now. But what I love, the thing that made me happy was Dale Murphy said, "Oh, I was thinking double play the whole time." You know, and
I was thinking a catch the whole time. I wasn't thinking about a double play.
I was thinking catch, and then I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to throw for a bullet. I figured it'd be a cutoff. Hey, you get two outs. That's great. I never expected that to happen, but I loved it.
You know, and finally the bats woke up because, you know, going into this divisional league series, they were ranked the number one team. They were had the power rank of number one, probably one of the greatest offenses in Major League Baseball history until they clinched it too early, if you ask me, okay? They got record-breaking stats in home runs, in runs scored, in slugging percentage, in stolen bases. But we say this every year, and you know this. We've been doing this for 6 years now. We've been focusing on the Braves. It's always the pitching woes. For a couple of years there, 3 years, 4 years, it was the bullpen. Now it's the starting pitching. Hey, the bullpen's been pretty
because of
legit.
Injuries.
Yes, right. Because yeah, of injuries, not because they
stayed. Yeah, and that's just yeah. No, it's because yeah, it's not because of that. I mean, it's injuries, and you're trying to figure out how to cobble together. And I mean, this was the biggest thing we talked about during the World Series year 2 years ago. You know, was what are they going to do? And obviously, you can't get Charlie Morton back. He's not going to be eligible to come off the injured list until if and when the championship series there. And, I mean, you're going to have some interesting options. And Brian Snitker talked about it in the press conference last night. He said, length-wise, you got some options. You can do a piggyback if you like. And his quote was, "I got a lot of things to consider. If we want to do an opener, who are we going to follow up with if we decide to do that or if we want to go the traditional route?" A lot of different scenarios you're looking at. So I'm going to throw a couple of names at you. Bryce Elder, he's probably the most experienced starter out there. Obviously, he's contributed heavily, especially with, you know, Kyle Wright. He's done for the year. And Max Fried, with him being banged up. And he had a really good start to the season. Got named to his first All-Star game, but he did not have the greatest second half. And he is a definite option. And then I also look at A.J. Smith-Shawver. Obviously, he got called up for a spot start last time. It was against my Cubs. And we all know how that went. But so he's a good option. Or you do, as Manager Snitker talked about, you do a bullpen game. And, I mean, you got some options with Brad Hand, Michael Tonkin, and Daisbell Hernandez. And it could get interesting. I think he's probably going to go with Elder. I want to know what you think.
I mean, you said it right there. I'm definitely going to say he's going with Elder. I mean, that's who I would go with if I was the manager. He's been in the starting rotation all year. What was he, number four or five? What was he in the rotation?
Yeah, I mean, he rotated in. I mean, he rotated in like four or five, and obviously was affected heavily by injuries. Wright goes down, and obviously he's not going to pitch the rest of the year. So I think Bryce got a lot more starts. I mean, I almost consider him a three in a lot of ways with the injuries to Fried early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a number three the whole year long, if you ask me. And,
I'm with you.
The bullpen, you know, you got a lot of good guys. Are you going to start A.J. Smith, Shawver?
Shawver, I mean, you could.
He's a rookie, but the guy that has the most experience, I got to go with Bryce Elder. I really do.
Yeah, you do. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, I mean, and Snit's not afraid to be Dr. Hook, like, you know, go to the old Sparky Anderson, you know, nickname right there.
Right.
He will be on a very short list. He gets into a spot of bother in the second or third inning. They're getting him up. Jobber will get up. And then the aforementioned Tonkin, Hernandez, and Brad Hand, who, of course, is picked up, you know, at the trade deadline, you know, might get a look as well. So, I mean, this is all hands on deck. For tomorrow, because, I mean, you got to figure out a way to steady the ship. You can't afford to go down 2-1 in that series. So it'll be interesting. I think I really think by middle of tomorrow, we're going to have an answer about who's starting game three.
It's going to be interesting. And I think Elder would be the one I would go with. So it's Snit's Nuts or Snit's Nuts Picks. Is that what you said?
No, I don't think I said any of that.
It sounded like Snit's Knots when you said that.
It's not Moore's. It's Moose. It's there you right. Go.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. But I mean,
okay.
I think with the way the bats woke up at the end of the game, they're going to stay awake for the rest of the series. But you know what? It's just, you know, remember, Phillies won they beat them three games last year. They only played four games, 3-1. So I just, you know, I hope the Braves are professional enough and they can block out that crowd. Cause you know, Philadelphia fans, no matter what sport, are off the wall.
Yeah. They're a brutal fan base. There's no other way to describe it right there. It's going to be rocking in Philly tomorrow night at Citizens Bank, but I think the Braves are going to be up for the task. Keep in mind, you still have one of the scariest lineups, 1-9.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's just it, but they need to jump early. You know, like we talked about in the, you know, ALDS as well. Like with Baltimore, they got to jump. They got to make this happen tonight. Braves have to do the same thing tomorrow night. And I'm really interested to see who they put in the box against the Phillies. But I really think we're in agreement here. It's got to be Elder.
I think so. But, you know, everybody in the baseball world is saying, who is it? Who's it going to be? So we'll find out. So that's inning number 2 in the books. I'm going with the Braves in 5. You're going with the Braves in 4?
Honestly, no. I'm going 5-2. I think it's going to take 5 games to win this thing.
They're going to do it in Truist Park, right?
Yeah, that's what I want to see right now. But the Braves absolutely have to go out and own it tomorrow night.
And don't forget, Coach's Corner, where it's all sports, all music, all food, all fun since
1991.
And the TP Pavilion is up. You got to get out there. You got to check it out. Also, they got a great fundraiser going on. You can get your company's logo on the LCD marquees in front of the Braves TP Pavilion, $500, and it goes to a great cause. It goes to help one of our own. And over the years, with all the money that's been donated, it goes right to that foundation. That foundation has helped people that have worked at Coach's Corner, has helped with people who needed wheelchair ramps, so it's just a great cause. So check it out. Go to Coach's Corner. Get on that billboard. It's going to run for the whole month. So, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen. If the Braves don't go all the way, it's still going to be up there the whole month. Check it out. Support one of our own. And don't forget, in the Soundgarden, I don't think there's anything going on this weekend, but Saturday, October 21st. Yeah, that's right. So nothing this weekend. Next weekend, we'll have an evening with Jason and Jared. Go get your tickets at Eventbrite. These two guys are really good. You know, it's sort of like Southern rock, mellow music. It's not boat music, but they do a good job. Country music. All right. And then Friday, October 27th, 2 for the price of 1. You're going to see Departure and Back in Black, a double feature tribute extravaganza. You got to go check it out. It's unbelievable. Departure is the Journey, right? Tribute band, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then Black and Black, AC/DC, buddy.
Can't beat it. Yeah, that's a good show. And yeah, that's a lot of fun getting started at 7. And it's the perfect time of year. The heat's gone. Go out there, listen to some great music, and have a lot of fun because it's always fun at Coach's Corner, especially in that Soundgarden.
And last Friday night, we had Guns N' Roses tribute band, Night Train. But you know what?
Night Train.
Just remember, when you come to Coach's Corner, always remember, welcome to the jungle.
Exactly, Coach.
All right, inning number 3, okay? Let's talk about the big draft that happened Thursday night at Grayson Stadium, And over all over YouTube, the Savannah Bananas 2024 World Tour. Unbelievable. They got 22 states, 29 cities, 96 banana ball games coming to you in 2024. They announced that there's going to be 1,000 more seats added to Grayson Stadium because they're only playing 22 times at Grayson Stadium. So we got 96 games. You only got a shot to see the Bananas at Grayson Stadium 22 times this year. And what really, I looked at that schedule, Kyle, only one game in June.
Yeah, it is. I mean, man, they are going to be on the road like crazy. And I mean, they're playing, not only are they playing in the, in AAA stadiums or spring training venues, you got some major league cities in there, classic stadiums, Fenway Park, get out of here.
Minute Maid Park.
Plays there? For the Astros, you got Citizens Bank Park for the aforementioned Philadelphia Phillies.
Progressive Field.
Nationals Park.
Oh, sorry.
I was about to say, yeah, you got Progressive Field. I know what you meant. And they're playing at my team's spring training home, and you got in Mesa at Sloan Park. That's where the Cubs play.
Yep. And they say it's a replica of Wrigley Field.
Yes, it certainly is. You get all the dimensions. And actually, I saw something really cool the other day. The Indianapolis Indians, of course, AAA team for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I've been to that field many times, Victory Field. There was such a demand. They're going to be there June 27th through the 29th. And all they posted on their social media page was,
bananas.
Six bananas sitting there and goes, guess what, guys? ... Announcement coming. So it has spread all across the country, and we're seeing banana ball in major league stadiums. Unreal.
All right. And then, if you want to go to any of these road games, I don't know if they're going to do this for the people in Savannah, but if you want to go to any of these road games, you got to get in a lottery. You know that?
Yes. Yeah, you do. In the lottery, that's going to get started. I think it starts 1st of December. You'll be able to actually enter into the lottery to get a chance to go see the Bananas on the road.
You got to enter before December 1st.
Enter before December 1st. That's right, the cutoff date. So, yeah, you got to get after it if you want to see the Bananas, because everybody else in this country seems to want to go see them.
I entered. Did you enter?
I have not yet. It would be really cool to see them, especially away from Grayson Stadium. I've never seen them outside of Grayson. I think it'd be pretty great.
I'm going to try and get mine for Tampa Bay because, they're playing where the other favorite team I root for plays their spring training game. So I'm going to try and hopefully in February hopefully I can win a ticket. You think I have some connections here, but I don't. So my name's in the lottery. So
you think we both would.
So hopefully, hopefully I can get something in Tampa Bay. My in-laws, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, hopefully I can get 4 tickets. We can go enjoy a night at Steinbrenner Stadium. So I'm looking for those. But you got to go to SavannahBananas.com. You got to get your name in the lottery or you're not going to get a ticket. I don't know how they're working the tickets in Savannah. Like I said, and don't forget, we have a new team. We have a third team there, Kyle.
That's right.
2024 Firefighters.
Yeah, and that's right. And the Firefighters, in addition to the party animals playing the Bananas, there will be 19 games against the Firefighters, a new banana ball team. And they're actually going to play the Bananas in one of the major league stadiums. They'll be at National Stadium, and don't have the date, but I know that's when they're going to be there.
So check it out. We can't give you every single day. There's 96 games. Check it out at SavannahBananas.com.
July 13th. There you go.
July 13th. And
July 13th, and they'll be playing the Firefighters, not the Party Animals.
Right. So, and the Party Animals were this year's 2023 World Tour champions. They beat the Savannah Bananas, winning 69 games. It was 34-33-2. So the Party Animals are the champions. I mean, what do we call them? Not the World Series, the World Banana Tour champions. I don't know what you're going to call them.
But anyway. I call them the banana. I'd call them the champions. I call them the banana ball champions.
You got it. Banana ball champions. Okay. All right, so that's inning number three in the book. Go check it out. If you want to go on these tour, if you want to go on a tour, if you want to take a cruise with them, because their last game is at Lone Depot Park, the Miami Marlins.
Home of the Marlins, Park, yeah.
October 12th. Get on the boat October 14th. I think you come back on October 16th or 17th, and you'll get to hang out with the Savannah Bananas, all the celebrities, and the man that came up with this crazy game, Jesse Cole, Emily Cole.
They'll all be there.
And Biko and the Shark, they'll all be there. And, of course, don't forget, you know, Mr. Lucas and Mr. Leroy, okay? So the big promoters of Savannah Banana Baseball. All right, inning number three in the book. Let's go to inning number four. We got trivia time. Right now, it's the 14th trivia contest. Right now, the coach has 6 wins. Okay, the Fanatic has 5, and we have 2 ties. So ran 13, went 13 games. All right, I started off last week, so you're going to start it off this week, buddy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which team holds the record for the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball in the NL and AL? Give me the two teams.
In the NL and AL during the regular season?
Regular season. Longest winning streaks in a regular season. Give me one out of the two. I don't care. But you got to tell me which league it is.
Duh. Okay. National. Yeah, I'm going to go Nash. No. Oakland A's. They won 21 in a row.
Buddy, come on. Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians in 2017 won 22 games in a row.
Oh, that's right. They snuffed that out, that record. Otherwise, I was going to say the 35 Cubs who won 20 in a row.
Then you got to go back to the official team that won the most games in Major League Baseball. And that's, of course, the New York Giants with 26 in 1916.
Wow. Okay, you got me. I really thought it was that Moneyball team, but I totally forgot about that crazy run that Cleveland went on that year. All right, you got me. I'm going with divisional trivia.
Go ahead.
All right. Can you name me the first two divisional champions from the National League? Just National League. Can you name me the first two division winners in Major League Baseball history from the National League? When keep in mind that divisional play started in 1969.
Are you kidding me? You're talking about 1969 and the Black Cat? Are we talking about the New York Mets who beat the were they Atlanta Braves at that time to make it to the World Series?
All right, just take it. Okay, I gave you
the Baltimore Orioles, and they beat the Baltimore Orioles. They weren't supposed to do it. Hey, you're talking about a guy that I grew up as a Met fan until they got rid of Tom Seaver. Remember that?
Yeah, I know. I gave you that one a little bit too easy, but it was really busy at work. So, all right. I'm going to lose it this year. Okay, what you got for me?
Here you go. Okay. Winning the one World Series is hard enough, but there have been only 14 teams to win at least 2 in a row, and the Braves failed in 2022 because they didn't make it because of we know who. Okay, who was the last team to win consecutive World Series? I'm not asking you how many in a row, but you know it's 2 or more. Who was the last team to do it in consecutive seasons?
Man, you're going to have to go back a ways there. Let's see, consecutive seasons? Yeah, because, man, you just haven't seen that in quite a while.
Who was the last team to win the World Series back-to-back-to-back?
Yeah, back-to-back. All right. I got to go 77. I got to go 77-78 Yankees.
You got the right team, but you got the wrong years.
What, to win it back-to-back?
To back-to-back-to-back. They won it
three in a row.
But no.
I misunderstood.
So you got the right team. All right, I'm going to give it to you because you got the right team, but you got the wrong years. 98, the Pirates. 99, the Braves. And 2000, the Mutts. That's the last time someone's won back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Okay. I heard back-to-back. I didn't hear three straight. All right.
All right.
So I don't know if I should take credit for that, but I know they won it 98, 99, and 2000.
I'll take, you know, I tell my kids sometimes my questioning is bad. So the coach made a bet on that. You got the Yankees. I'll give you that. So it's 1-1. All right.
Okay. This is for the win.
Right.
Can you name me three managers that have won both the National League Divisional Series and the American League Divisional Series? There's more than three, but I'll give you a shot. Just give me three. They had to manage in the American League and the National League. I'm going to tell you right now, they're all Hall of Famers.
Well, I know Yogi Berra won with the Yankees, but never won with the Mets. Wow. You never really.
I really thought this would be easy for you.
No, it's not. Who cares about the managers? Who cares?
You know, I do.
I know you do. Okay. They did it in the American and National Leagues.
Yeah, they had to win a divisional series to advance to the championship series in both leagues.
I have no clue. No clue. Couldn't even give you one.
Really? I'm kind of surprised by that.
Couldn't give you one.
You got Sparky Anderson.
Okay, yeah, Sparky Anderson. You got
Sparky Anderson, Cincinnati, and Detroit.
Right.
Jim Leland, Pittsburgh and Miami, and the Detroit Tigers. And this is the one that'll get you. Bobby Cox, Toronto Blue Jays, and Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm. They're the only three to do it in both leagues.
No, there's more. Those just came to my head. They just came to mind immediately.
No, I couldn't even come up with it. No, there's not even close to it because I really don't, you know. You know, that's like, you know, I wouldn't follow it. Just like Frank Robertson, with the Cincinnati Reds. And who else did he play for? And he won the MVP
Baltimore.
Baltimore. So, I mean,
Baltimore.
That I would know. But a manager? Nah, wouldn't even know it. So what do we
got? Okay, I was going for a theme. Question, so what you got for me?
One question apiece. So what are we in, the bonus round?
We are in the bonus.
Okay, so I went with the longest winning streak. Now, which team holds the record for the longest losing streak?
In what?
In Major League Baseball. In games during the season. The longest losing streak. Which team holds the record for the longest losing streak in Major League Baseball? Whether it's
1988 Orioles.
You were close there, buddy.
What?
1961 Philadelphia Phillies. Lost 23. The Orioles opened up the season losing 21 straight in 1998.
Oh, coach. You got a shot to win.
I'm not even giving you dead ball era questions. I'm giving you questions when you were a young pup.
I was not alive in 1961.
Okay.
Jeez, my dad was six.
I was two.
All right, fine. Yeah, well, I wasn't even a thought. So the final question, my bonus question for you to wrap this up. Can you name me a manager that has won the World Series in both leagues?
You kill me with these.
Definitely bad.
Did he win it with the Marlins? Was Leland the manager when the Marlins won it? And of course with the Pittsburgh Pirates, we are family. I'm going Jim Leland.
No, it was Sparky Anderson, Big Red Machine, and the 84 Tigers.
And that was my other.
Leland won his only ring with the Marlins. He won a pennant with the Tigers. He never got beyond the championship series because of the Braves in the early 90s. Yes, he did.
Right. And he never won a World Series with the Pirates?
No, the last manager to do that was Chuck Tanner, 1979.
Chuck Tanner, okay. Well, my other choice was Sparky, and so we have our third tie. Okay, because I didn't word the question right.
You know what? I should just let you have it, but we don't have time for it. All right.
No.
All right. I got ball to watch, man. This, We got Rangers Orioles starting.
We're 1 minute underneath our 45-minute mark, so we'll end this quick because I know you want to go. You probably got to eat. You probably want to watch baseball. All right, so remember.
Clearly.
All right. Hopefully you enjoyed what we had to say tonight. We gave you our predictions. Last week I was 1-3. He was 3-1. I'm going 4-0. He wants to go 2-2. So check it out. Remember, you've been listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi and Kyle Lawson. Remember, say a prayer for this crazy, wacky world. Now we got to say a prayer for Israel. We got to say a prayer for we got to say a prayer for this world because it's so crazy. But hopefully we took your
– Yeah, I would say just leave it with that.
Just leave with that. Hopefully we took your mind off of 45 minutes. Remember, it's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Kyle Lawson, always doing the Who's on First Base baseball podcast, usually Wednesday night. Be doing a little early because of the playoffs. So, Kyle, whatever you're doing tonight, tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park, coach.
And until we speak to you next week, you got to love it. May it be what?
Your best week ever. We'll see you next week.
And he's biting at the bit because in a couple minutes they're going to say what? Play what?
Play ball.
See you later, buddy.
See you, coach. Have a good night.